what time it is. We can let down our hair. The moon is high, and we are lunatics now. It's deep in the safe harbor. It's Dark 30. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off the radio if you don't want to potentially hear some outrageous material, because this is when we kick back down a shot of hard liquor and try to have some fun. And I'm your creepy guide across the River Styx.
All hope.
Daddy gonna give you something to drink, though. I am here in the rustic countryside of the Wild West, not too far from Kickaster, Texas, with producer Hardwood Forrest Connor and investigator Shelley Wright at our flagship station, News Radio 570 WWNC in Asheville, North Carolina. And, you know, Shelley Wright, we were talking earlier in the show about how the weather is just on the yo-yo, going up and down. And when the weather was below zero, did you still have people walking into Wright's Coin Shop? What was it like there?
You bet we did. We've had a lot of people walking in since New Year's. It's been fabulous. And it's nice and warm in there. And we have just lots of stuff going on, lots of new things going out in the cases. And we're about to get the 2014 Silver Eagles in and the Gold Eagles. So things are really hopping right along.
Well, you know, you were letting me know off air that you guys have been making some gigantic sales there at Wright's Coin Shop. And is it still a buyer's market for gold and silver?
Definitely. Definitely it is. And I think that this time of year, I know that at the beginning of every year, I always have a financial plan. I've got my ducks in a row. I know exactly what I'm going to do for the next year. And I think a lot of people are like that, and I think that's what we've been seeing, everybody getting their ducks in a row and starting on their plan, and it's wonderful. I'm happy for them.
So right now, if somebody wants to buy gold or silver, do they have to go to Wright's Coin Shop, or can they do it long distance with you?
They can do it long distance with us.
Yeah, so you've got all the options on the table then.
We do. We do. And we don't have minimums like a lot of these companies that you see on TV where you have to place a $10,000 or $20,000 minimum order for them to even give you the time of the day.
Yeah.
We don't do that.
I mean, somebody can walk into Wright's Coin Shop and say, hey, I've got $20-$30, and then they can walk out of there with something nice, can't they?
They can. They can. They can definitely start their investment future, putting things back for a rainy day. Definitely, 20 or 30 will definitely get you on your way.
Yeah, that's how it begins. You know, it's dip your toe into the water and buy one and say, wow, that was easy. And then next thing you know, you're buying more and more, and then you've got a little treasure trove. So I mean, How can people get in touch with you who just know nothing about this process and get some personalized answers from you?
They can call us at the Coin Shop at 828-298-5402, or they can just walk in the door and talk to us. We're at 1271 Sweeten Creek Road in Asheville.
All right, so write this down, everybody. Once again, you can call Shelley Wright at Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402. If you are in the Asheville area, go to 1271 Sweeten Creek Road. And to make this easy for you, you can also go to WrightsCoinShop.com and find all the information on directions and whatnot. WRIGHTS, WrightsCoinShop.com. Now, Shelley, you still have a lot of guys who, well, let me just put it this way, okay? I've been getting some emails about you. You know this.
I don't think you pass along everything.
No, I don't pass along everything. But I've been getting a lot of emails from people who are saying, I want some photographs of Shelley Wright. They want to see what you look like. And is your picture at WrightsCoinShop.com? I don't remember. I need to look this up real quick.
It is. It is.
It is.
Uh-huh.
Okay. How do you feel about people who would like to get a fan photograph of Shelley Wright?
I think that's fine. You were asking about fan photos the other day, and I said, mm-hmm. "Oh, that's cool. What's a fan photo?"
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Sure.
Okay, there we go. If you go to rightscoinshop.com and you click About Us, there it is. There's a photograph of Shelly standing there at the counter with a customer. And I know I'm sure it's embarrassing for you, Shelly, but there are people who do walk into the coin shop and they profess their love to you, don't they?
I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah, it's true. I know they do. You don't have to be shy about it. I mean, just lay it out there. There are people who come in, and they are, maybe they buy a lot of gold and silver, but we know what they're really looking for, right?
If you say so.
Mm-hmm. Shelly, have you ever considered dating a big fat guy?
Where is this going?
Oh, it's going somewhere, trust me.
I'm sure. Yeah, I've already seen someone, but thank you for looking out for me.
Is he a big fat guy?
Yeah, is he a big fat
guy? I'm not giving any details.
Well, okay, well, how about this? What is the fattest guy you've ever dated?
I don't know.
Yeah, of course you do.
No.
You have to have some sense.
No, I don't know.
Have you ever been with a guy who's 300 pounds?
No, I haven't.
Mm, so, I guess it's safe to say you've never been with a guy who's 400 pounds?
That is safe to say.
How about 440 pounds?
I believe that we have already said
okay.
No, we have not gone there.
Well, that's probably a good thing, because I have this story here. It is the Dark 30 Hour from New York, New York, the Big Apple. And it is about a 440-pound man who was a virgin. And he hooked up with a girlfriend. And now, just to give you some idea of the folks we're talking about here, the 440-pound virgin. Now, not to be confused with the 44-year-old virgin. No, this is the 440-pound virgin. He was 21, and he got a 22-year-old girlfriend who weighed 110 pounds. And she decided that she was going to alleviate his virginity. And so this man was so enthusiastic about ridding himself of his virginity that the sheer force of his weight on top of her sent her flying backward, her head plowing through the sheetrock wall of the basement where they were getting down and dirty. He thought he'd killed her, is what he told the newspaper. She was unconscious. They called 911. She went to the hospital. She fortunately was only diagnosed with a concussion. And obviously they say, in this case, love can crush you. But in reading this story, the doctor there told ABC News that it's not at all uncommon to have sex-related injuries, that they see sex-related injuries in the ER at least about twice a week. And, Shelly, would you like to take a guess at what the most common sex-related injury is?
I don't know that I can actually... no, go ahead. Go ahead.
I bet Forrest knows. What do you think it is, Forrest?
I have no idea.
Oh, come on.
I don't know what we can say and what words we can say and stay on the air.
That's my dilemma here.
I'm looking out for you.
Okay,
I mean,
are
we talking like positions, or are we talking like what?
Well, you know, no, the injury. that occurs from a sexual encounter?
Does something get sprained?
Did you guys say that at the same time?
Yes, we
How
did.
How cute. No, it's things getting stuck in rectums. That is the number one. They say by far that is the number one problem. Things getting stuck in rectums. This is not the first time I've heard this. I'm pretty sure, Fars, that your wife has had some experience with this. Maybe I should rephrase that.
Yes, I think you should.
Yes, Kelly used to work in the ER.
Yes.
So yeah.
And so she's seen this.
She has stories. She has a ton of stories about
great
these things.
Stories.
Yeah. She's never been the patient. She has just seen what happened.
The attending nurse or care provider on some of these things.
Is it a coincidence that you two are married? I don't know. We'll just move along.
Did I tell you how we met?
No. Let's hear that story.
That's for a dark, dark 30-hour.
It's the strawberry shortcake edition. So they say here that, people are coming into the ER left and right with objects stuck in their rectum, and they frequently lie, saying, quote, I fell on something, end quote. So, that's nothing news. But this reminds me of my most vivid Dark 30 memory of this type of incident. You probably know the one I'm talking about, where there was a doctor who came out with a book of the worst x-rays, so to speak, that he had ever encountered in his years dealing with this. And one of these x-rays looked very much like a guy who had a totem pole of Barbie doll heads stuck inside of him. So, there you go. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to combine the Dark 30 Hour with outer space, because something has been launched into space that has a Dark 30 connotation. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Ranch.
The neighborhood was changing. Stranger meaning. A new boy there for a local girl. But she made like a dead man from a wide oak tree. People sitting on porches thinking how things used to be. Dark night in the dark night. The neighborhood was changing. Strangers came in. A new boy there for a look.
I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Let me remind you, this is the hour when you should turn off the radio if you don't want to hear some potentially outrageous material. Not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. This is when we talk about some of the stuff that, well, we stay for late at night because it is more outrageous and controversial, and you won't hear so much about it in the mainstream news the rest of the week. Before we move on to our next story, I want to just fit this in here because it was such a great experience. You know, before I left Asheville to come down here to Texas, and of course I'll be heading to Puerto Rico very soon, and if any of you are interested in getting away from the cold to do a Puerto Rico expedition, I've got a couple coming up. Go to paranormalpuertorico.com. Forrest, you took me to the airport in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we were able to arrange to have dinner that night with a true icon of broadcasting. You and I spent an evening with Alan Handelman.
One of the best in my life.
Tell everybody just a little bit here about who Alan Handelman is and what he meant to you.
Well, growing up, it was Sunday nights. He had a show called, Alan Handelman had a show on one of the local affiliates, and every night I would listen to him. Or every Sunday night, I would listen to him and record it so I could listen to it on the school bus the next day. And he had guests like rock stars and just paranormal people on there, psychics, just sort of, he called it rock and roll talk radio. It sort of ran the gamut of like what no one was doing at the time. He was sort of like the predecessor to Art Bell, if you would, with just all the crazy and weird guests and just. He's the one where I pretty much got interested into the paranormal and found out about a bunch of the stuff like we're talking about today in the paranormal.
And what was it like to meet Alan Handelman face-to-face for us?
It was awesome. I mean, the guy was very down-to-earth, he wasn't just one of these big, cocky radio guys that thinks he's better than everyone. He's just like you and me. I mean, like I said, we sat down, had a drink, and had dinner and just talked about everything under the sun, pretty much.
Yeah, it was a fun evening. It was fantastic. Alan was a great guy. And yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, if you are a subscriber to my Twitter feed there through joshuapwarren.com or Forrest's at SOS Hardwood, you can see a photograph there, at least of me with Alan. Did you post your photo with Alan?
I did.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, and we plan to work with them again.
Oh, yeah, and if you want to check out some of Alan's content, I hope you don't mind, but check out www.ifitrocks.com, and there's feeds from his shows going back to the 90s on there. And just something just great to listen to if you're not happy with some other certain late-night affiliates right now.
All right, ifitrocks.com. That's Alan Handelman's fantastic, legendary broadcast. And we are talking about plans to maybe team up with him at some point in the future. Getting back to Dark 30 News, well, they say it's finally happened. Someone finally launched a sex toy into the final frontier. An inflatable sex doll named Missy was launched near Lake Tahoe, California, by one of the world's largest distributors of adult products.
I saw the video.
Did you?
Yes.
I haven't seen the video yet. Does it look like pretty much one would expect?
Well, yeah. I mean, you have this this doll going straight up in the atmosphere, but it's got one of those like GoPro cameras or something on it, and it's step by step. Step-by-step overview of what's happening and of her going up into the air. I'll see if I can find the link and send it to you. Maybe we can get it posted on the site.
Well, Missy was hooked to a balloon named Cherry, and the doll climbed over 100,000 feet above the earth at a rate of 1,400 feet per minute. They say apparently sex dolls can endure a lot, at least this one, because her hot body held up to extreme temperatures, air pressure, and cosmic ray radiation. They say the material of this sex doll did not even deteriorate when the temperatures got as low as 70 below zero Fahrenheit. She was traveling against jet stream winds over 100 miles per hour. The cosmic radiation was around 100 times its earthly strength. Continued to expand until her balloon, well, cherry popped at 102,000 feet above.
Okay,
that's for the chair.
I'll post it on my Twitter feed at SOS Hardwood.
Yeah. So after a cherry popped, the whole thing was ripped to shreds by the atmosphere and fell somewhere over the Nevada desert. Wouldn't that be amazing if that were the explanation for Roswell? Some guy at the base hooked a sex doll to a balloon. And, I mean, this was done in 47. It goes up into the atmosphere, cherry pops, crashes back down. They say, oh, my God, an alien. No wonder the military is covering it up. It could have been a sex doll. That might be the big, you know, reveal that we have on the way. All right.
I'm looking at the video.
You're watching the video?
I'm watching the video.
Okay. So, any comments on the video?
Well, from way back here, the head of it looks like it could have been the alien at Roswell.
Really?
It does.
A new theory. I will write a new book about this possible explanation for the mystery at Roswell. Here's a story from Oregon County, Oregon. Just listen to the headline. Man high on meth fights off 15 police officers while masturbating.
Oh, God.
Sounds like a new Batman villain, doesn't it?
It does.
He fights you and shoots you at the same time. Let's see here. More than a dozen, at least, while publicly masturbating, 37-year-old man made a series of outbursts, held the officers off. They say finally 15 officers were able to jump on him and subdue him. That's a rough night at work. The man later told authorities that he had taken meth and couldn't even remember the obscene incident. And he was booked into the county jail on charges of public indecency and resisting arrest. So, yes, that's a Batman villain, and the guy who rammed his girlfriend through the wall might be some type of a superhero. You know, we were talking about that off air. What if I was about to say the Incredible Hulk, but let's look a bit more realistically. Let's look at Superman. Everybody thinks Superman's hot stuff, but you know, if Superman just let loose, he would just rip a woman to shreds, wouldn't he? You couldn't make love to Superman.
You couldn't do that.
No.
No.
It would be dangerous, yeah, at very least.
It would be.
Here's a story from Hampton, Virginia. We get one of these that comes around every Christmas season. A father bear wants answers after his 8-year-old son discovered porn on a Nintendo handheld gaming console he got for Christmas. The father told the news there that his son and some other young children discovered the porn on the gaming system, playing with it Christmas morning. He said it was especially a shocker because all the other children were there. It's a Nintendo DSi, some kind of a redesign of the system, capable of web browsing. Nobody can explain how the porn got on there, but apparently this is becoming more and more common every single year, and they say you better be careful when you buy these electronic units for your kids, because you know, there could be something like that on there, and maybe they will learn that Santa's not real and something else is very real at the same time. We're going to take a break. When we come back, oh my goodness, here's a story about what happened in the meat market in England. And then what happens when a wife swap goes terribly wrong? I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the Dark 30 Hour. This is Speaking of Strange.
Doucement, sans faire de bruit, comme on réveille la pluie, je vais prendre ta douleur, prendre ta douleur, je vais prendre ta douleur.
Is what we call it during Safe Harbor when we are talking about the more outrageous and controversial stuff, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. Just tune out if you fall into those categories because, well, it's sort of adult-oriented programming late at night tonight, and that's why we save it for you late at night on nights like this. I am Joshua P. Warren. And mind you, there is a new report that you can read that I wrote about our TULPA experiment. It is absolutely fascinating. Go to joshuapwarren.com. There is no period after the P. Go to joshuapwarren.com and read this TULPA experiment report. And I want to reproduce it on a larger scale, a more complex scale, and I would love to think that many of you will also reproduce this simple experiment. You can actually do it in your home, in your house, anytime, and send me the results because this is something I really, really, really want to know more about. Getting back to our Dark 30 news stories, we have, of course, producer Forrest Connor in the Asheville studio, along with investigator Shelley Wright. I'm joining you from Big Tejas. And let's see here. This is from the UK, from England. They say, fortunately, the only meat he touched was his own. A man, 49 years old, fully intended to go shopping at a local supermarket when he became very excited and overwhelmed by his, quote, excessive sexual drive, end quote, and began touching himself through his pants in the meat aisle. Closed-circuit television recorded him with his hands in his pockets for about 10 minutes. a female employee at the supermarket saw him, but did not realize that he was doing the, you know what. She thought he was merely adjusting himself. We've all been there, hey, Forrest?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes the baloney needs to be a little adjusted. And
that's right. The baloney needs to be smacked around to the left or the right somewhat. But this guy was caught red-handed, and he pleaded guilty to public indecency. Was given a 6-month suspended sentence. The funny thing is, the judge who heard his case felt that the guy was at high risk of reoffending after he realized that this guy's arousal is stimulated whenever he sees raw meat. The judge said, quote, "You told your probation officer you have a compulsion for masturbating in grocery stores. You seem unable to identify and deal with the consequences of what you do," end quote. So when this guy sees raw meat, oh boy, that does it for him. That sounds scary on a lot of levels, but it also goes back to this sort of weird idea that you just never know what little fetishistic things are going to fire off one's arousal. I mean, to me, though, the idea of, like, raw meat, that almost has a serial killer kind of tinge about it. But it's one thing, okay, well, I like women who are wearing this and that. I like men who are doing this or that. But when you're walking through the supermarket and you see meat, I mean, how does that fetish get implanted into your mind? It's very strange. Shelley, is there a department of the supermarket that ever kind of does it for you?
I rarely go to the supermarket. You are lucky if you find me in the supermarket like once a month. I hate it.
Is there anything in the vegetable aisle that kind of, you know, sparks some naughty thoughts or anything like that?
No, and get those naughty thoughts out of your head.
Now, Forrest, how about you? Is there a section of the grocery store that, you know, maybe when you go by the puff pastries or anything that kind of like...
I ran into Shelley in the produce section at Target the other day.
Oh, really? I knew produce had something to do with this.
I mean, I was sort of like between the produce section and the frozen food aisle, so I don't know what was going on there. But no... nothing really turns me on, but...
Forrest, what would you say is the most erotic fruit or vegetable?
I haven't given that much thought lately.
Have you ever watched a woman wash a cucumber?
Yeah.
Okay, enough said. Shelley, what do you think is the most erotic food?
The most erotic food? I'm going to have to...
product. Fruit roll-ups?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Shelley's mind is always at a day.
Let's turn this on you, Joshua. What do you find the most erotic?
I think I just gave it away.
I think you did. Really?
No. No, whenever I watch a woman wash a cucumber, especially if there's, like, dishwashing detergent
involved. You're hanging out in the produce aisle at the local Piggly Wiggly or whatever, and you see a woman pick up a cucumber, and your mind just goes there?
Absolutely, yeah. Just instantly, of course. Yeah. Squash, not so much, cucumber, absolutely.
To the point where you need to be escorted out of the store?
No. I just stand there and look at her in a very uncomfortable way. I just try to make her feel really, you know, awkward. Yeah, I just stare at her and I'm just like, oh yeah, tell me the perfect qualities of this cucumber. Well, meat doesn't do it though. We'll say that. Let's move on, shall we?
Like the cantaloupes or the watermelon or.
No. I'm a simple man. I'm very traditional. Okay. Let's go to... Oh, how about this? Olmos Park, Texas. Okay, now, see if you can keep up with the chain of events of this story. A police officer there, who is 29 years old, hooked up with his 33-year-old friend named Jesus. And the police officer and Jesus, I mean, it's probably they probably say Jesus, but we'll just call him Jesus. The police officer and Jesus decide to do a wife swap type deal, but they weren't sure how to inform their wives of this. And so one evening, Jesus kind of told his wife what was going to happen here, and she's like, okay, I think I might be up for this. And so Jesus and his wife go over to the police officer's house. So, after, you know, the mood's right and they've had a few drinks, the police officer starts making some moves on Jesus's wife. Now, unfortunately, the officer had not had an opportunity to yet tell his wife what the plan was. And so the officer's wife walks in. She sees the officer doing, you know, nasty little things with Jesus' wife and freaks out. So they all get into a big fight. And the next thing you know, a gun is involved. But hey, you know, this guy's a police officer, right? So they don't specify exactly how the pieces fell into place, but they say that the police officer ended up shooting Jesus in the chest and hand. And so the officer is suspended without pay, pending his trial. And the chief there says, as I've tried to tell kids that want to get into law enforcement, be careful about your decisions because they have long-term consequences. Did you guys keep up with that one?
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah, there are four figures involved here. Basically, the policeman shot Jesus when their wife swap plan went wrong, and probably, I'm thinking, the police officer's wife was so upset that the officer tried to pretend like he wasn't, you know, condoning this or something. I don't know. We're about to go to a break, but first,
or we could go to the break now. You're listening to Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren. Joshua's connection has definitely gone bad, and we'll get back to Josh right after this.
Thank you.
minutes of tonight's Speaking of Strange. I am Joshua P. Warren. It is the Dark 30 Hour. Consider this your warning. This is the hour when we talk about things that are not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. So tune out right now if, for whatever reason, you don't want to hear that kind of content, or there's somebody around who doesn't need to hear it. Let's see here. Let me just tell you quickly that, well, as you may know from listening to the show, I am in the process of traveling from Texas down to Puerto Rico, where I have some expeditions. And so this show is going to be kind of hit or miss over the next few months in terms of new ones versus best ofs. So just stay connected there to speakingofstrange.com for updates on when new shows will be there, as well as the Facebook page, my Twitter feed at joshuapwarren.com, and also be sure to sign up for the free e-newsletter at joshuapwarren.com so that you'll know when, you'll just know what's going on in general. And that's part of why the content of the show tends to be a little better than most shows. It's because I actually get out there and investigate things. So before we had some connection problems there, I mentioned that there is a story from the holidays about a 65-year-old shopper arrested at a Radio Shack in Arkansas for urinating on merchandise and the carpet. Not surprisingly, he smelled of intoxicants, had his pants unzipped, and was just kind of running around, peeing on everything inside the Radio Shack. And police asked him, "Why didn't you just ask to use the bathroom?" And he said, "Well, stores usually won't let you, so I didn't ask." They believe he caused about $800 in damages. Next story here for the Dark 30 Hour. This is from Kenya. They say the victim of a sexual assault showed up in court to face her attacker. She was a goat. The man, a 28-year-old from Kenya, was sentenced to 10 years in jail after admitting that he had had sex with a goat. The goat was present, brought there by prosecutors as evidence in the case. A neighbor told prosecutors that he went to urinate behind a bush when he noticed clothes hanging on a tree. He investigated and found the man naked, doing it with the goat. The victim was tied up to graze. Well, I don't think I need to read any more of that one. Next story. From Indianapolis, Indiana. You may have heard a lot of descriptions of a penis, but have you ever heard this one from the headline in the Huffington Post? Quote, "In a rotary helicopter motion," end quote. This man, they say, was having a swinging good time. Turns out he was the only one who saw it that way. The man faces charges including public indecency, resisting law enforcement, criminal confinement, and battery after he allegedly harassed two women by, yes, swinging it at them, and you know what it is, in a rotary helicopter motion. Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. It's like Apocalypse Now in Indianapolis. One of the women flagged down an officer to complain about this. The women told police the man had approached them from behind and then just actually reached out and grabbed one of the women to show this amazing maneuver to them.
Hey, y'all, watch this.
Well, it is a trick.
Just keep it in your pants. You know, we'll let you know when we want to see it. Really.
You got to give some kudos to the guy, Shelley. I mean, it's one thing if a guy had run into Wright's Coin Shop and pulled his pee bogger out.
Which he would never, ever, ever do.
You would say, well,
that wasn't, that didn't take any talent. But if the guy ran in and was like swinging it around, you'd have just a slightly higher degree of respect, would you not?
No, I would not. Do not come into my shop swinging it around. Keep it in your pants. At all times.
Well, here's a story about some nasty just desserts. This is from the Guangdong province in China.
Can you say that on the
A man there admitted himself to a local hospital after he got a live eel stuck inside of himself. He inserted the 20-inch long Asian swamp eel into his rectum after seeing it done in a porn movie. And at that point, the eel began to freak out and reportedly chewed its way through the man's colon, perforating his large intestine, and became stuck in his body cavity. Medical team members said the eel was simply trying to find its way out. It was alive when they removed it, but died shortly thereafter. And the man is still recovering and might face animal cruelty charges. They say that, this is not the first time this has happened, unfortunately. They say in 2012, a New Zealand man had to have an eel removed from his posterior. In 2010, a Chinese man died after his friends allegedly inserted an eel into him as a joke. Ha ha ha! And that's going to do it for this edition of the show. I thank Brian Hall, Forrest Connor, John Anderson, Mobius, and Kuka. This is Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. So next time we'll be at speakingofstrange.com. Sign up for the free e-newsletter and Twitter. You are commanded!